B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 Zanig and on NBC Sports Philadelphia. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corfley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Yeah, it has been presented to me that, and I didn't even realize it. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is the 1 year anniversary of the Mike Missanelli Show being televised on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
I can't believe
it.
How about that?
We didn't even, kind of just like raced by for a year.
Time
raced
flies by. When Time you're flies. Having fun.
So yep. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, for putting the show on the air now for 4 hours. Thanks, everybody, for watching it. A lot of people tell me that in the afternoon they're at the bar. It's always on. It's on at Xfinity Live. It's all over the place.
Yeah, somebody literally from high school I haven't seen in over a decade hit me on Facebook today. Saying, taking a picture of the TV because we're on wherever she's at. It's fantastic.
A service pro guy stopped me today as I was walking my pup in the neighborhood. Service pro guy was behind a wheel. He looks at me and gives me one. Hey. I turn around. He goes, you Mike Missanelli? I go, yeah. He goes, I watch you on TV all the time, man. I thought that was you. There it is.
Where else do you get 4 hours of live entertainment on TV? 4 straight hours of live TV?
He gave me a card and he said, if your house is ever flooded...
No, those guys, I hear, do a good job.
My house is ever flooded.
He's hustling.
Yeah, well, I hope
get that money.
Yeah, all right. So last night, is it possible that this show had a little bit of influence on last night's result?
A little bit. It's possible.
It is possible.
It is possible.
All right. Well, let's look on the court, first of all. Now, on the court, I was screaming for Ben Simmons to engage and to attack. He did that. I was screaming for the defensive garbage men, either Jonathan Simmons or Ennis, to be defensive garbage men, to either get through those screens or help defend off screens. They did that a little bit last night. And then one thing, major thing I said was, "Why, Tyrone, I hate to do this to the kid, but I said loudly that TJ McConnell should not be in a rotation."
Yep.
And he wasn't in a rotation last night.
Yeah, Butler was your backup point guard.
Exactly.
Ben or Butler.
You can't waste those kind of minutes where the guy is going to give up defensively and offensively opportunities. And so you can't keep... I'm not trying to hate on the kid. He's had a good year. He's been a scrapper. But you cannot play him now.
You're right. I don't think you can the rest of this.
So now let's look about before the game. Can we reveal this?
Well, you shouldn't give names.
No, we won't give names. But apparently, I had some influence on who did not ring the bell last night.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. The word at the yard was that AI was supposed to accompany Dikembe Mutombo for the bell ringing like he did with Aaron. And yesterday we were talking about, I think it's a little played out now, the AI thing with the bell. And apparently the Sixers were listening, and they kind of agreed. So they sent Dikembe out there alone.
Well, someone like Dikembe Mutombo, he doesn't need an assistant to get out there.
Just AI overload.
Yeah.
You know, you got to bring AI in select spots now. He's like the Fanatic all of a sudden.
He's there as
the Fanatic. And you know, they put him on display, and you got to pick your spots with AI. Make it special again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, also... there was a big sweet photo yesterday with Jamie Foxx.
I saw that.
AI, the whole crew, because Jamie Foxx threw out the first pitch at the Phillies game.
Yep.
Did some Phillies, then popped over to the Sixers for
some
sweet
action. Oh, he did pop over? Because I was watching the Phillies game, and he was on TV, the Phillies game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Jamie's going, damn, I can't wait to get out of this bitch.
it was mainly the weather, apparently. It was cold out there last night.
It was freezing out there. For the people who stayed at that baseball game, I laud you.
Yeah, Jamie pops over to some sweet action with AI. And AI called him, quote, the most talented M ever.
Huh, that's nice.
Who said what?
Iverson called Jamie Foxx the most talented
M ever.
Ever. I said it. He put it on social media.
Did he?
Yep. He, you know, he's actually has an argument.
All right, well, I'm glad he's the Jamie Foxx fan.
Yeah, they're a little sweet.
Were they hanging out?
In the suite, yeah.
Was it double bro hug?
I didn't see any double bro hug? I didn't see any of that. I just saw that there was a little sweet action that I wasn't in on with people cooler than me.
Okay.
Including AI and Jamie Foxx.
You couldn't break into that AI Jamie Foxx thing?
Nah.
No?
No, I don't have that status.
I watched your show last night.
I appreciate it, Mike.
And you had a red visor on.
Same one I had on during the program.
Yes. And
for Tiger.
Yeah, but Tiger doesn't wear a visor.
Well, Ty can't wear a hat because he doesn't want to mess his hair up.
What?
So he has to wear a visor.
One day he can't mess the hair up?
Come on.
Tribute to Tiger? If you're going to pay tribute to Tiger, then pay tribute to Tiger. Don't worry about your damn hair. I thought it was all about Tiger, not about Ty.
I spend a fortune to keep up this thing I got going. I'm not buying a hat I'm wearing once.
Why not?
Because I'm not.
You're a wealthy man. You got two jobs.
That's the bad part.
You take your money to the bank in a wheelbarrow these days.
Two jobs? Not wealthy. I can't afford that. I already had to buy that red. You know how much those Nike shirts cost?
Hot Tyrone, another check? Yeah.
Man.
And one check. That's what they say at the bank, the tellers.
One check's about to dry up. The Sixers, you know how much of my finances are based on the Sixers having a long playoff run?
With this Sixer money, you can build a wing on your house.
I did get the landscaper done.
Yeah, of course you did.
Finally.
Joe and Chalfont, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike and team, happy TV anniversary.
Thank you, Joe.
So I got a couple questions about last night's game. I think we're being too generous with the Sixers, you know, kind of assuming or thinking that the defensive adjustments were there last night from the jump.
No, they weren't there until the third quarter. Yeah, no. You're right. They made some three, but the whole vibe in the first half was better. They played more together and energized in the first half.
Well, yeah. They shot a better percentage and all that. But my question is this: I mean, you know exactly how to adjust. You said it on your show. You know, are these adjustments they made so complex and sophisticated?
That no.
Brett couldn't make them in
No, that's what I was screaming one. About after game one. That's what I was screaming about. You like make adjustments during the game. You see exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, he waited. I mean, why wait till halftime of game two? He could have made these adjustments in game one.
That's why I was ripping the coaching staff. I said, you got four dudes there. You know, somebody's got to have an idea. They got more than four dudes there. You got 70. Who's the guy with the shaved head who sits there behind the? He's one of the coaches. I swear to God, they got 10 coaches there.
So my other point quickly is, do you think with 10 minutes to go, it was a little maybe too early to start clearing a bench?
No.
And Corky and PJ.
No.
I mean, you saw what happened to the Warriors.
No.
Hot NBA.
No, the Nets quit.
The 30-point game.
No, the Nets quit on that game. They were subbing as well. They knew how to lose that game. They knew they couldn't come back in that game. And Brett knew what they were doing, too. They were subbing out. They were giving up.
Yeah, well, the only time I mailed it in was, like, I don't know, 2 minutes after the Sixers cleared their bench. The Nets cleared theirs, and that was it.
Yeah, then no, it was fine. They were almost up by 30 points. I mean, they're not going to come back from 30 points. That team doesn't have that kind of firepower.
All right, so what's the next plan B, Mike?
Plan B is to play the same way. Play with energy, get in their grill, take away the top up top screens, what they call it, top locking. You know, do a little top locking.
Top locking.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Top lock.
Those next.
You then beat down low, get Simmons scoring the same way, attacking the basket, or with those shorter pick and roll type of plays. You can't do a pick and roll where they usually start. You got to do it lower with Ben Simmons, so he can get to the basket within the 4 foot range.
Yeah, and he's actually a threat because they ignore him in the pick and roll up top because they know he's
going to
shoot.
Pick and roll up top, you're not going to shoot it.
No.
So,
they made 7 threes in the fourth quarter of the Nets, and it didn't matter at all.
No, it didn't.
A lick. They made 7 threes and it didn't matter.
Yep. 610-622-0975, one open line on the anniversary show. So it should give you incentive to get on the anniversary show. Rich in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Hey, happy anniversary, Mike.
Happy anniversary. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you had me cracking up yesterday about McConnell. I kind of pictured you and maybe Ty going into the coach's office and giving the old Henry Hill and Paulie and can't do it. I just can't.
Yeah, can't do it. Now I gotta let you go.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Is that it? I guess that was it.
He misunderstood. You were using the line from the movie.
Yeah.
He thought you were letting him go from the phone.
Yeah.
You misunderstood.
No. Yeah, he was like, okay, bye.
Yeah, he thought you were done with his call.
You
were doing
that. Turn my back on you. That's what he said. I screwed up the line anyway. Yeah, no, man, I wasn't going to let you go. You can call back.
Yeah, you can call back on.
I want to get your point in. Hey, we missed channels there. Z in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at the list.
Yeah, he dropped off because he thought I was saying I got to let you go.
Okay.
No, I didn't mean that. I was just doing a movie line. Go ahead, Z.
I'm sorry. So I wanted to, okay, let me get my things together.
All right.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up, there was a conversation, a press conference that Embiid had about, you know, when Jimmy Butler came, you know, to the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he was like, I don't know what my role is after Jimmy, you know, Butler came here. And I'm just like, why would he say that? Mm-hmm. And also, like, now you have to think about, like, why Jimmy, like, kind of fell off a little bit,
mm-hmm.
kind of took a back seat.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you know, playing. And I know he's an animal.
Yeah.
He's an old school player. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I think that's probably why, like, he's like, all right, let me take this back seat because apparently, you know, this team is not welcoming me as much as I thought they
would.
That's
a good observation by you. MB can be a little bit of a baby.
He is, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
a big baby.
He can. Yeah, big baby. No, you're right. You know, listen, right now it's like, okay, we got a job to do. So let's dispatch this team. Now, I don't know if they can do the same thing in the second round. This series, depending if they sweep the rest of the series, maybe I start to think a little different about series two. But right now, I still don't think the Sixers can beat Toronto in a 7-game series.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But if they do sweep and do the same thing they did last night,
mm-hmm.
then I think, you know, something can happen in the second series.
Well, I hope you're right. If they sweep, that means they're playing at a very high level. And then, you know, they get some momentum into Toronto, which lost their first game as well. We didn't even mention that.
Exactly.
We didn't have it take inventory of that. That kind of mitigated the damages of the Sixers losses in game one.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, so let us win the series
mm-hmm.
and do it terribly, like do it hard, do it hard the same way they did it last night.
Yep.
Do it hard. Let's go to the next series and do it again.
I got you.
It's going to be a struggle, of course, but you know,
no, it's going to be a big struggle. That's going to be a 7-game series if the Sixers are going to have a chance to win, and they're probably going to win game 7 in Toronto.
Playoff Lowry though always opens the door. I forgot about that. He was scoreless in that game.
Playoff Lowry.
Pay off Kyle Lowry. He's a different guy. Philly tough, accepting the playoffs. There's going to be a 1-for-13 against the Sixers at a big moment.
Uh-huh.
And then the question is, can they just get to the take advantage of the playoff Lowry? He'll mess it up just as much as Ben Simmons will. I forget about that because we love him here and he's mm-hmm. so tough.
Yep.
But in the playoffs, he's just different. How do you go scoreless, starting point guard in game one of a play? He went scoreless. Even Ben got the 1 point.
Yeah.
Lowry didn't score against Orlando in game one.
You raised a decent point. 610-632-0975. Ed in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Ed?
What a relief.
It was. It was a relief.
I mean, you know, pins and needles, and then they tip it off, and Ben just takes off like jetpacks.
Yep.
And he was just getting whatever he wanted.
Yep, from the jump. I love the transition attacking Ben. Love it.
That looked like a playoff team, not that first game last night. They look like they can go through some teams now.
I hope so, because they weren't attacking off of defensive rebounds in game one.
No, but there were some Mutombo elbows going last night with...
Bobby corked them.
Oh,
you know, that's close to being a flagrant, too, by the way, but... Yeah, they made the right call, flagrant one. They showed some mercy on him.
The broadcast, and of course, Charles thought it was
flagrant too. Really?
Yeah, but Shaq didn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't. See, in the playoffs, you can't throw a star player out of a game like for that.
That'd have been bad.
Yeah, and it makes the league look bad when you do that.
But I gotta admit, I kind of like it.
Yeah, well, I like it too. Intimidation factor. He corked him good.
Clear them out.
Yep.
I mean, We put our hands on their throat last night, I think, a little bit.
I agree with you. I was saying, Anthony, in the fourth quarter, I'm watching the game, and I'm watching the demeanor of the Nets team, and they're going, well, we gave it the best shot we have. This is the only way we can play, and they just tromped us.
Loved it.
Yep.
All right, Mike, take right, care.
Man, you got it. So a little bit of a little heart vivisection.
And the coach did what you say never do. Never talk too much about the officials. And the coach, he went right into that. And I guess he's working
them to
get, yeah, and I guess he's working them to get calls in game three. But I still don't like that he wasn't talking about what his team did wrong. Instead, he was talking about he called it like extreme physicality, and basically acting like the Sixers were just hacks the whole third quarter.
I want to give the officials credit.
How so?
This is because they're taught not to be confrontational.
Right.
They could be confrontational. What those guys take on every call. And the guy always goes over to him, and the player is always talking to him about it, and they stay stoic and they listen to him. You know, cuz I'd be tempted to go, "Dude, get out of my face." You know? I made the call, go sit down. But they listen to him, and they nod their head like, you know, they give him that time of day. You know, they're not acknowledging they're wrong. They're just listening. Let the guy blow off steam. That's a good way of officiating. So I got to give the NBA credit for teaching their officials not to be confrontational like that.
No, I agree. You know, JJ's the worst culprit on the Sixers.
He is.
He's the worst culprit I ever thought on the Sixers.
He's a nitpicker with the officials.
Yeah, like Embiid and Ben Simmons, for the most part, have a pretty good demeanor. And Butler, too, have a pretty good demeanor. JJ, every call JJ's after the official. Everyone.
He really is. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So if I'm an official, like in the old days, like the Joey Crawford days, he would get confrontational.
Yes. When at Tim Duncan of all people.
Right, yeah, exactly. So they're taught now, these new officials that come up, they just look at them. You know, they let them talk to him.
Yeah.
They don't say, "Get away from me. I'm going to give you tea." They let them air out their grievance. Mm-hmm. They get it off they blow off the steam, and the game continues. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, listen, I appreciated the tour of the studio. And I've been in your presence three times, and I've been in Donald John Trump's presence three times. And you're both very similar in a sense that you're highly successful, wealthy men. But here's where the similarity is. No, listen.
Yeah, me and Trump, we hang in the same circles.
Mike, when you're with Trump, you constantly have an inferiority complex. But with you, immediately, you make it feel like it's a level playing field, and it was quite enjoyable.
Oh, well, that's nice, Dave. You can get on TV so people can actually see what Dave the Voice actually looked like.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, did you say you were talking to Eldrick when you were over there?
No, I didn't talk to him. We exchanged head nods.
Oh, wow.
We made eye contact as he was coming off the 18th tee on Thursday, walking to the Butler cabin, kind of by himself, as the rest of that foursome was coming off the 18. And I gave him a little head nod. He gave me a head nod back. And with I thought I broke the curse.
Yeah, well, listen, these people saying they had Eldrick at 100-1, that's false. He was fourth choice at 14-1. I had 100 on him, and I had a couple smaller bets with Xander Soufflé and Rom.
Soufflé.
But here's what's interesting. Justin Rose was second choice at 8-1. The morning of the tourney, he drops to 16-1, and guess what? He doesn't even make the cut.
No, he didn't. He was plus four.
Yeah, but here's something that's alive and well. The only golfer to win a Grand Slam in a calendar year was Bobby Jones back in 1930. Tiger has a shot at it, Mike. He's won it about Paige Black before. They go to North Ireland. He's got a chance to do it,
He's
Mike.
He's got no chance.
Okay, there's something else that is alive and well.
he's going to win the next three majors?
Mike, he's got 25 more cracks at winning majors to surpass the Golden Bear. Is that going to happen?
No.
You guys have a good day.
All right. No, it's not going to happen.
you know, they asked that on the Golf Channel the next morning early show. They asked about it. And three of the people on the panel looked at the person who asked the question like it was crazy. But the one guy was like, he wins one more this year, wins one more the following year. One more, like, he had a plan for Tiger to pass Jack. And but it included, he has to win one of the last three to have a chance.
How old is he now?
43. Second oldest to win the Masters. So if he wins one more this year of the final three, they're saying that puts him at, what, 16?
You actually think he's going to tie Jack?
Do I think he can tie Jack?
You want to bet?
See, no. No.
I'll be long gone. I won't be here anymore.
What do you mean you'll be long gone?
Why does he always say that?
But I have a telephone.
Where are you going?
He said he's not
going
to be working here anymore.
It can't happen. Like, they'll take like 5 years for him to do that.
They're basically, yeah.
Right? So,
they're basically saying, yeah, win another one this year.
Okay.
And then one a year after this year. But the key is, if he doesn't win another one this year, it becomes mathematically impossible with physical erosion. And apparently these young amateurs that are coming up are even better.
People want to know something. I've gotten all kinds of emails and tweets, and people want to know, you're so gung-ho on Tiger, and yet I presented a bet to you that he, like, giving you strokes to win the Masters, and you declined. And all of a sudden, you got this latent love for Tiger when you actually could have backed him from the jump, and you did not.
I did not.
Can
back
you
him
explain
from
yourself?
On the other side, because we're up against a break.
All right, we'll take a break. And on the other side, he'll explain why he decided not to take not three, not four, but five pops. I was giving him Tiger and five pops, and Mr. Tiger didn't take it. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. It is time to update our Twitter poll at the half-hour mark. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Miss Natalie Agonoff.
Thank you, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on this one so far. How many games will it take for the Sixers to beat the Nets? 30% say 5 games, 58% say 6 games, and 12% say 7 games.
All righty. Need some bell ringers coming up for the playoffs. You're using most of that 2000 team. So how about if I suggest a few?
All right.
How about the man who just got elected to the NBA Hall of Fame? How about if we bring back Bobby Jones to hit the bell?
I like that.
You like that?
I do.
How about DeShaun Jackson?
He already did it.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Yeah, he did it the day after they re-signed him, right?
He was official when he officially was traded.
He was officially
traded.
You can't use Carson Wentz because the back's still cracked. You don't want him doing that.
Yeah, no. Nah. He can't be swinging anything.
A laundry list of people would be available since they have a lot of time on their hands these days. How about Drew?
See, about that.
How about Carter Hart?
I would like Carter Hart.
Bring a flyer, cross-pollinate, and bring guys, you know. How about Jim Jackson?
I would like Jim Jackson, but you're like, why are you saying that?
He's got nothing to do.
See?
Oh, that's right. He's doing Phillies.
Yeah.
All right, so he's...
But, if they have a day game...
He's got some time.
Yeah, he could pop over.
Yeah.
After a day game.
Coatsy?
You're just digging. He's digging.
See? I was with you with your suggestions.
I know.
You bring the grit master in?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, but that means that has to... tackle him.
Who? Franklin?
Yeah.
You think Franklin can take Gritty? He's more agile.
So if you can't let that happen.
No.
If they have Gritty, like, the funny thing would be them, like, wrestling and then Bell gets hit three times. Like, you play it like they hit each other, like, push each other onto the bell and you hit it bing, bing, bing in a court.
What am I hearing? Oh, I get where they already asked Jim Jackson and he said, no bell.
I knew it was coming. I knew he was going to do it.
Stop, man. Every time.
Now, one more.
Why did he take the bet?
Why? Oh, yeah. So Tyrone does not take the bet. And the people were like, my inbox was flooded. You were giving him three. He turned down three, turned down four. He turned down five strokes with Tiger. And he wound up winning the tournament outright. So why didn't you take it? Why didn't you believe in Tiger to win the Masters?
Because I had no reason to believe in Tiger to win the Masters. I didn't think he was going to win the Masters. I'm glad that he won the Masters, but that's all on a scale. And if I took my favorite athletes, Tiger would probably be like 90th.
Mm-hmm.
But among golfers, he's first. So whenever the tournament's on, I'm rooting for Tiger. But I don't root for Tiger. Tiger actually is actually wretched in a lot of ways. But relative to other golfers, he's first for me. It's just golfers in general to me are generally wretched.
Why wouldn't you take five strokes?
Because I didn't think he was going to play well. I honestly didn't. Then once he started playing well, I got swept up in it like the people did. And the reason I dressed up in the getup was because Friday, Natalie and I said we would do the red and black if he won.
Yeah.
But if you believe that he was going to win.
I didn't believe.
We didn't think that he was actually going to win.
You didn't believe it.
No, that's why we said.
I thought you were in disagreement with me as far as my edict that he would not win another major. You were in agreement with it?
No. I thought he would win another major. I didn't think he was going to win this major. I thought he was going to win the British Open.
But if there was a major he's going to win, it's a Masters. He's won many Masters. He knows the course. Like
I thought it was going to be unexpected.
Okay.
So that's why. I didn't think he was going to win. But I got swept up in it just like the people did. No one on Friday. So Friday he's playing well. And they had to stop
it. You could have had an easy Sunday with five pops. You know, he trailed Molinari by two. You were still winning.
Yeah, I still didn't. I didn't trust that. And then I was worried about him having a bad Sunday because of that fusion. He hits one in the water, a couple double bogeys, and he's in the top ten, but he's six back.
Has he been on any morning show like Morning America or anything like that? Has he done any of those?
Not the national ones. No? He did a bunch of shows. He did Extra with ESPN.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
He came back Extra. He did Extra with Nance like hours later, and he did one other one.
Yeah, I know he came back to Butler Cabin with Nance.
Yeah, he did something with Tom Rinaldi.
He'll have to be on somewhere soon to talk about it. Someone's going to get him.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Yeah. It's not his fifth green jacket. He only has one. They don't give you extra jackets.
So you just keep the same one?
You just keep the one. Yeah, they don't keep giving you jackets.
Oh, and then you put it on again like it's brand new.
It's like Fugazi.
So that's his original jacket that they put on again?
I don't know.
Or do they put on?
Or whether they said, what size are you now? And he said 44, and they grabbed the 44. I don't know.
They should put badges on them.
They don't collect green jackets.
They should put pins.
It would be very cool if Tiger, you go to his house, and he's giving you a tour.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, my closet. And he leaves it open a little bit, and you see all the green jackets. That would be way cooler than a trophy. All the green jackets. Oh, which one am I going to wear? Monday jacket, Tuesday jacket. I got one for every weekday.
Yeah. Or at least a pin.
Yes.
Of some sort.
One jacket.
One jacket is all you get.
That's it.
It's change in Mount Airy. Change. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Change.
Yeah. What's up? What's going on?
What's going on? Change.
Hey, man. You know, change is good because I tell you one thing. The Sixers changed their team.
Yes, they did change. Oh, they changed it up.
Woo! Man, listen, I'll tell you like this. Mike, I disagree with you because I always agree with you, but I think that if they play the way they played last night, they can go as far as to the finals. Because I don't think no team in the league.
They play the Nets. All right, show me. If you're going to show me that they're going to play like that and blow out Toronto, then I believe it. But they played They blew out the sixth seed. That's not getting carried away here.
Listen, let me tell you something. It ain't about them blowing them out. It's just the way that they you can't stop that force.
Yeah, but the other teams are going to be better able to stop the Sixers.
Listen, I'll tell you like this. If they play to their capability the way he's playing, if Brett Brown can coach like he was coaching yesterday and not coach like he in a paper bag, then we have a chance to go as far as the finals. I'm trying to tell you, this boy right here, Brett Brown, he can keep up the capability of being a great coach, but for some reason, he wanted to just be stuck in his system. He got to get that system out of his mind and play to the strengths of his team, because I'm telling you, nobody in the East can beat these Bulls the way they're playing.
Well, the way they're playing, they play one game, Change. All due respect, they play one game like that.
Mike, listen, let me tell you something, Mike. One game, two games. That's the same team that blew them out on Saturday.
It's about
redemption. Remember when Rocky came back at Fort Paulo? Remember he came back my Mr. T, my fault. He fought Mr. T, remember that?
Yeah.
He came back for Mr. T.
Yeah, I remember.
And he won that thing and the Eye of the Tiger. That's what they needed. They needed to get that Eye of the Tiger in them. And it's like Rocky III and Rocky III.
Jane, I'm right with you. Now, if they show it, the next game Thursday in Brooklyn, if they play the same way and demolish them, well, then I start to believe a little bit that they can do the same thing at a higher level. But I can't take that last night's game. I can take it and say they took the Nets' heart. I can't take that game and say, well, they also just took Toronto's heart. I mean, you can't go, you can't make that kind of leap yet. All right, one open line. It's all yours. 610-632-0975. Philly starting lineup is out again tonight. Same lineup again, Tyrone.
I love it, Daniel.
No change in the lineup.
Well, they get some pitching, though.
Cutchin, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Odubel, Cesar, Michael Franco, and... oh, wait a minute. Who's pitching tonight?
Pivetta. Oh,
it's Pivetta. Oh, Booney sent me one with Aaron Nola on it. So I don't know if it's the same lineup. I wonder if he sent me last night's. Booney, was that last night you just sent me? Are there some major shakeups? Right,
no, that's not right.
It's not right. So might...
No, tonight's lineup is McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Realmuto, Kingery, Hernandez, Altair.
So there is a shakeup.
Yeah.
See, Booty sent me an email that said major shakeup, and then he shot me a lineup, which was last night's lineup.
He probably attached the wrong image. Altair, Franco, and then Pivetta.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And Herrera out.
All kinds of newbies in there tonight. All right.
Okay.
610-632-0975 is how you climb in. And on the other side, I'll talk about what Odubel Herrera did last night, if anybody noticed that last night, if you're watching the Phillies game. You're going back and forth, which hard to believe. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. I just did some recording, some commercial business. Sorry I'm late. I didn't finish. I was at the last two lines.
I'm sorry.
When Nat came in.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I had to get back to the show.
I saw it. I was like, I bet you he's almost done.
Almost. Two lines. I had two lines left. All right, let's get back to the phones. Sam in Northern Liberties. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Sam?
Not much, man. Just calling in to celebrate about that win last night.
Yes.
It was my first ever playoff game. Pretty electric in there. Got chills a couple times when Ben scored and went on that big run in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He got the whole place to stand up.
Yep.
It was pretty awesome to see.
Yes. The cupping of the year. I would see if I was TV guy, I would have shot the AI with that cupping year. See what AI's reaction would have been.
Oh, yeah. That would have been pretty sweet.
Yep.
Well, they kept going to Mutombo, and he had some hilarious reactions. They were all over the internet.
Yeah, and AI was behind Mutombo.
Sitting behind
Mutombo the whole time.
But yeah, I mean, listen, how they played the last 3 weeks of the year, coupled with that first game, I put their ceiling at, you know, maybe a competitive series in the second round. And the way they played in that third quarter just showed me that, you know, the team... I'm not convinced they're going to the finals or anything like that, but they have the potential, if they put it all together for a seven-game series, they can compete.
Again, you're measuring it with the wrong canvas.
Okay.
The canvas you're using is the Brooklyn Nets canvas.
If
they play that way in the first couple games of the Toronto series, then you can make that statement. The canvas is completely different, though. You can't take the leap from last night's game to now they have a chance against Toronto.
I think what they showed me in the third quarter just shows me that if they put it all together, they could compete.
Yeah.
Before that game, I thought that even if everyone is clicking and things are going great.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. But again, you got to measure. They competed last night against an inferior team to do that.
No doubt.
So, you got to, that's why I'm saying, hold on a little bit. That convinced me last night. They took the Brooklyn Nets heart. That's what that convinced me, and they should win this series in 5-6 at the most.
Absolutely.
All right, bro. You got it. I can't make that leap. Oh, they scored 145 against the Nets last night. It means they're going to beat Toronto in the second round. That's where you get tripped up. You got to show that kind of consistency. Now, if they show that kind of consistency to win the next three games, then I'm in. Because then I see a different brand of ball being played. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Dave? Was that the old Dave in Center City?
No, I think this is different Dave.
Different Dave? Well, he won there. Ted in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ted.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Ted?
Hey, I wanted to quickly comment on Tiger, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead. I love Tiger right now.
I'll try not to tear up right now.
Yes, I was tearing.
I'm telling you what, he's sipping the wine right now.
Good for him, man. That was a great achievement. I can't take that away from him. I'm a guy who loves greatness. That was a great achievement. Do I think he can catch Jack? I think it's going to be really hard for him to catch Jack.
Absolutely. You know what? You never know. He can go on a nice run.
We'll see.
I heard he's going to be ringing the closing bell.
Oh, he's going to ring the closing bell? How do you bring Tiger in to do a little bell against Toronto?
Yes, there you go.
At the well. Say, Tiger, you doing anything? Come on up.
There you go.
Bring the girlfriend. Bring the two children.
Wow. I don't even know how.
Bring Mark Steinberg, the manager, who made sure he got his face on TV.
Oh, wow. Man, we're just rolling out the red carpet.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring him in. That would be awesome.
Oh, speaking of red carpet, I think he's going to get some kind of award or medal from the president.
Is he really? That's right. Trump's giving him something.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait. Tiger's good friends with Trump?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how you feel about that, Ty?
I don't care.
You don't care? All right. What else you got, Dad?
I also think he was penciled in the last scene of Game of Thrones. So he's really doing
it. He's the national story right now. It really is. That victory was sensational. Yeah, it was
absolutely
totally unexpected.
No hate on my end.
Yeah,
absolutely no hate on my end. Good for him.
Yep.
But let's go. Let's talk Philadelphia coaches. Out of the top three right now, who do you think is going to be the one on the curb on garbage day? Because it's hit or miss with them. If they go soup to nuts all the time, is it Brown?
If they don't get past the second round, it's Brown. It's not going to be Kapler. Kapler's got this whole year.
I don't know.
They don't have a pitching staff, so he's got already an excuse. But tonight, interestingly enough, I got the right lineup here. It's McCutchen leading off, Segura, Harper, Romuto is batting cleanup because Reese out of the lineup tonight. Jetpack's in the fifth spot. See what those new muscles will do for you, Ty?
Yeah, get built up.
You put it in the fifth spot.
There you go.
Cesar hitting sixth, playing second base. Aaron Altair in center field for Odubel. Michael Franco hitting eighth, and Pivetta is your starter tonight. And I alluded to something that Odubel did yesterday, which may have pulled him out of the lineup. Did you see what he did?
Oh, wait, yeah. What was that?
The runners were at second and third.
Oh, yeah, he almost ran him out of the inning?
No, runners were at second and third. They walked the next guy to load the bases. This goofball thought it forced in a run. He didn't realize there was an open base. He starts walking towards home plate.
No.
The third base coach has to yell and scream at him. The catcher throws. He barely gets back.
Yeah, he almost.
Oh, my God. See, I don't know.
Must have been distracted.
He's always distracted.
And he's like a space cadet, that dude. He's just like, you know.
Here I am.
He's out there.
Yeah. That's a very Abdul-able.
That's probably why he's not in the lineup tonight.
Is Reese being punished a little bit for that tough play?
No, that was a hard play. They give Reese a blow.
They have what?
I don't think he's in a groove right now.
They don't have another day off for, 16 days?
I think it's another 14 games.
14 games.
All right. You got to use your bench every now and then.
Yeah.
No, I'm just wondering, would Santana have made that play last year at first?
It's a hard play. He's a better fielder. He might have.
Okay.
But, you know, the throw from the second baseman wasn't exactly his laser.
No.
He threw a 17-hopper to the plate.
I don't know what that was about.
A worm ball. He McNabbed it.
It was like in between home and first base, too. Off to the side.
610-632-0975. Rolling to the 4 o'clock hour. Tim Legler will join us at 4:10 for his look at this series and this Sixer team. We're back after this.